Lord, we wait before you. We pray you would open our hearts. As you speak your truth to us, it will become alive for victorious living. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you today on naming the day. Naming the day, because there's a way that every one of us can live victorious every single day of the year. Even when difficulties arise, even when we have gray skies, even if you have a broken arm, even if you don't have a job, there are ways that we can, we'll call it, name the day in which God has given us. When difficulties arise, when illness comes, when hope in people, which is wrong to begin with, fails, we can still name the day. If your Bible's open to Genesis chapter 2, I want to share with you some ways that we can name a day. Now, I don't mean Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Names are very important. Family names are very important. You know that. It's very important that we have certain family names. But with authority, we can actually speak to the day that God has given us. Today God gave us a day, and what did we call this day? Just what did the world call this day? Palm Sunday. The world also calls this day, every Sunday would be what? The Sabbath. The Lord's Day. I like that. This is the Lord's Day. So we have named this day as the Lord's Day. Names are important. Originally it also denoted trade, like Nancy's maiden name was Dubois, which meant of the wood, and her father and grandfather were cabinet makers. So that's very, very important. The idea of speaking with authority and naming the day that God has given to us is very, very important, but we must be very careful not to misinterpret it like the claim it and name it that we hear. That may not always be theologically true. We've got to watch that. And there's a difference between positive thinking, listen, a difference between positive thinking and a godly attitude that God does give His children. An example of that went wrong was Mary Baker Eddy in the Christian Science group. In my opinion, it went wrong that way. Years ago when I was golfing with the pastor, and I don't know, because now they've changed the holes, but it's the place where you can drive off to number 8, probably usually golf, or go back toward the clubhouse. It's the same place, you can go different places. And it was at that point I made this statement to the pastor, how that, you know, we can actually say things and we can sort of speak things into existence. And he just got so mad at me, I'm telling you. He just read the riot act. You can't do that. And of all people, I would think he would be one that would say, yeah, that's possibly true, Pastor. But he just said, no, that's just not, you can't do that. But in Genesis chapter 2, with your Bibles finally open, you found that book. Genesis chapter 2, God gave the opportunity for Adam to name the animals. Chapter 2, verse 19. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground, notice that, He formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. Now you know we've been created out of the ground. You've heard me say this many times, but did you remember this or forget that it says He formed out of the ground? Can you just imagine the mighty hand of God scooping up some dirt and forming this lion with all the mane? He did that. And then after God had made all the birds, all the animals, then He said, now Adam, I want you to sit down. I'm going to pass before you all of these animals. So Adam sits down and God parades the animals. So the first animal comes by and He says, I'm going to call you monkey. Now listen, every name He gave the animal was the characteristic of that animal. So He named them, I'll name you monkey. Well, monkeys mimic and trifle around, and that's what monkeys do. When He came to the lion, He said, I'm going to call you lion, because the lion is ravenous, and he's also the king of the beast, and all the things that come to your mind with a lion. So Adam had this great responsibility to name them. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. Now, as God paraded before him all of these different animals, God is parading before us every day when we open our eyes, the brand new day. And he said, I want you to name the day. And so this morning when I woke up, I didn't even want to open my eyes. I was upset, I was blue, I was discouraged, I didn't feel good. And I opened one, believe it, I opened one eye to see how Nancy was over there. And she was, here I'm all in turmoil. And I thought, well, what are you preaching on this morning? Naming the day. And so I woke Nancy up and I said, Nancy, I'm going to call this a good day, didn't I? I'm going to call it a good day. And this has been a great, great day. But I could have said, this is a gray day. Worse than that, it's turned blue. It's a blue day. Things aren't the way they should be. And right after I made that statement, we got up, and then we got the phone call of distressing somebody else who needs to name the day different than that person is naming the day. So do you get the comparison in the Bible? God said, Adam, you name the day, and whatever name you give it, it's going to be. So you've got this day, you call it the Lord's day. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, you have a new name, and you can define the nature of your day. Now, I think the text has great depth in it, because when he named it, he may have thought, well, maybe I should not name the lion the lion. Maybe the first thought in my mind was an ostrich, but I don't know about that. No, I think I'll call it the lion. You see, names are very important, and names have been changed. Think of somebody in the Bible who had a name change. Anybody? Exactly. Who else?
Saul.
Abraham, from Abram, who was the father of nations, Sarah to Sarah, the princess, Jacob the supplanter to Israel the prince, and as the name was changed, so was the life. So if my life is not going good when I wake up, I can change that name.
Our name's been changed too.
Definitely our name's been changed. With a new name, incidentally, written. Yes. Another one that you probably would think of if you had more time. Simon the Reed was changed to Peter the Rock. Name changed. And it's the changed name, so he became. Nancy Dubois to Nancy Carlson. So the name changed, so she did become. So what I'm saying is that when God brings to each of us a new day, like the animals in Adam's naming, we have to name the day to serve us. Name the day to serve us. Give each name, each day a name. Give each day a face. And you must define the content and the nature of each day by giving it a proper name. Be it as you have spoken. So repeat that. We must define the content and the nature of each day by giving it a proper name. So tomorrow morning you have to give it a name. You will do it verbally or you will do it subconsciously. And if you give a bad negative name, the results are going to be you are going to be viciously attacked by Satan because you're going to be open to him because you gave a negative day. So Satan says, well, if that's what the guy wants, he can certainly have it. And he's so good at that. If you give a good name, then you're going to bring good and that which will serve you. And whether you like it or not, you will give tomorrow a name, consciously or unconsciously, verbally or silently. And your day tomorrow, people, is going to be influenced by the name that you give it. And so we've got to decide in advance what name we're going to give it. So I've got four suggestions here that we can relate to. They're all intertwined, but yet there is a separateness between each one. And we need to draw out the power of God within us. We need to draw out the power of God that's within us for ourselves, for our spouse, for our children, for our business, for our church, for all relationships. Draw out the power that's within us because you have God in you. Now, the first of the four, enter with your thought life. What did I say? Enter with your thought life. Everything around us is the product of our thoughts. I'm sitting on a chair. Now, there was a time when there were no chairs. Trust me on that. And so
they had stones or tree stumps, but somebody said, I'm going to make a chair. So the chair came about because the man did what? He thought. It's a product of our thought. The electricity, the heat, everything you can think of is a product of our thoughts. So we must enter our day with our thought life. And here's the scripture, Proverbs 23:7. You don't have to turn to it, but I think you know what it says. As a man thinketh, so is he. Say that. As a man thinketh, so is he. That comes from Proverbs 23:7. And the Hebrew word is found only here. It probably means, as he is all along in his heart, so is he at last in act. So as we are all along in our heart, so it is we're going to be in our act. So as a man thinketh, so is he. So we ask ourselves, who do we run around with? Who do we play with? Who do we talk to a whole lot? The cliques of people that we are involved with. The importance of association. So we want to name that day, and we're going to enter tomorrow with our thought life. Because, say it again, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we enter with our thought life. Really simple, but it's really hard to do. The second thing is we enter with our attitude life. We enter into our attitude. This morning when I woke up, my thought was, as a man thinketh, so is he. It's going to be rough, horrible, disgusting, painful, etc., etc., etc. Or I changed the name. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a really good day, and it is becoming what I spoke into being. It is a great day, for you are here. Beside that, the Lord is here. So my thought was, it's going to be good. But the second thing is my attitude. My attitude had to follow through with what I was thinking. So this guy was given a book and told this girl to read it. Obviously not the Bible, but it was a book. So she started reading the book, and she got so tired of it and disgusted. She scanned a little bit. She stopped, and she just put it down and forgot about it. And about a week later, he said, how are you coming along with the book? And she said, well, not very well. In fact, I'm not even enjoying the book. And he said, did you stop to see who wrote the book? And she turned to the front page where it says, oh, boy. It was a guy. It was her friend. And she started reading the book. And when she started reading the book, everything happened because, you see, her attitude changed about it because she found out that he, who was her lover, had actually written the book. Our attitude makes all the difference in the world. She did not like the book, but her attitude about the book was changed. So with you and me, the attitude about this book changes when we know the author, as each of us do. So our attitude life is very, very important, and our attitude makes the difference. Jesus said that our attitude can be good or evil. It depends upon whether or not we have a single heart or a single eye. It's either a deceiver or a savior. And the difference is our attitude, our eye, our attitude. So we enter with a right attitude. And the scripture is this, Philippians 4:13, and you know what it is. Say it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength, or who strengtheneth me. I can do all these things. So this is the attitude that I have. Say, I can do this, but it's not psychology, and it's not positive thinking. It is something that God puts in our heart that we can do it. Now, the little red train, oh, maybe it was a blue train, I don't know. The engine that said, I can't, was it blue or red? Thank you. I still think it was red. But it probably was blue, and if that was a question, too, the blue. The little train engine said, what? I think I can. So was this good attitude or bad attitude? Was it scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ? Well, his attitude was that he could do it. He could do it. Now, if we shift this to Jesus, Jesus says, you can do it. You can do it because of this. You can do it because of me. I can do all things through whom? Christ. And what is he going to do? He's going to give me the strength. So when you name the tomorrow or the next day, remember, you're tagging it with an attitude that says it will change because of Jesus. Thought life, attitude life. The next is, I call this our vision life, and I've turn to Proverbs 29:18. Don't turn to it, but I did, and I read this. Where there is no vision, what do the people do? They perish. Pastor Clement asked his church a couple of Sundays ago, what's your vision? And he seemed to tell me that nobody had a kind of a vision. They weren't visionary. This morning it was so cool to have Nancy say, what is your vision? What is it that you want to call forth here? And so this is so important in entering the church's day or your own life. It's the vision attitude, because when you concentrate your sight on something constantly, it does draw out amazing power from us. It draws out amazing power of creation, either for good or for evil. It's where we put our eyes. Turn to Genesis chapter 3, if you will. Genesis 3, verse 6. It says here, when the woman did what? Saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. But before she did any of that, what did she do? She saw it. So that vision is so very important. In the same book, go to chapter 13, verse 14. Genesis 13, 14 and 15. Genesis 13, 14 and 15. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, lift up your what? Your eyes and where you are, and look north and south, east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. So what came about in the future was because of something that he saw. He saw with his eyes. That's very important. And then the last is Genesis 19, 26. This is on the negative side. Genesis 19, verse 26. Lot's wife did what? She looked back. And you know what happened to Lot's wife. So we must concentrate our sight on something, and you can do that in naming the day. And it will draw out this amazing power within you. It'll be for good or it'll be for evil. And that statement comes from Jesus. So let me repeat. This is what Jesus said here. When you concentrate your sight on something constantly, it draws out an amazing power of creation either for good or for evil. The scripture we read was, when there was no vision, the people did what? Perish. You'll have a rotten day if you have no vision for that day. And in the context of the scripture, the darkest time in the history of Israel was when there was no open vision at all. And that's when the people actually perished. What it means is they are let loose. They are left to run wild. And David had seen in the prophets and in their works the condition of true national blessedness when they were with God and utter defeat when they were not with God. So the vision is so very important, because as we think, we change, and when there's no vision, the people perish. And when I'm thinking about seeing things, does anybody remember the story of Jacob when he had his lambs come and mate at the watering troughs? Okay, they saw with their eyes what he had done. And he took poplar tree branches and he peeled them off. And when they mated, they produced speckled animals. And so you're saying, now come on. Are you telling me that there's prenatal influence? Yes, I am telling you there's prenatal influence. But I'm not sure it was like Jerry Lewis, who had, after seven or eight boys, he said, I want everybody in America to think pink for the next few months. Think pink, think pink. I want a girl, I want a girl. Well, in the case of this, it did happen. Biologists admit the possibility of prenatal influence. But whether in this case, in Genesis chapter 30, we know that it changed his whole image, it changed his future by seeing the spotted speckled trees, and God was able to work in his life. But whether or not that helped, we don't know. But this we do know, it was God who did it. It was God who performed what we're talking about in Genesis 30 with the birth of these lambs. And so today God's Spirit comes and he does inspire you with visions and dreams. And I think these cause us to launch out differently in our family, in our church, and actually where we work. So we enter tomorrow with, first of all, our thought life, secondly with our attitude life, our vision life, and the third is this: we enter today, John 16:24. We're going to name the day tomorrow And for today, we turn to John 16, 24. 16:24. Until now, Jesus speaking, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will what? Receive, that your joy may be complete. God wants us to have a joyful life tomorrow in Him, a joyful day. This doesn't mean everything's going to be coming up roses, but it means that in it all, He is going to give us joy that comes from Him. But He also says here, ask and you will receive. So we've got to name the day. Don't be afraid to ask. A lady said to us in an email, I have never asked for this. I am reluctant to ask something for myself, which may be the temperament of a lot of people who just don't want to ask for whatever reason. But God says that we are to not be afraid to ask, and in faith we will receive. Not limited to salvation either. Whatsoever, anything, all things. And so tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and I'm going to say, hi, day. Hi, day. I'm going to name you happiness. And so this guy gets out of bed without a job. So he wakes up and says, I'm going to name this day, hello, day. It's a good day. And his arm's in a sling. Happiness is the Lord. And I wonder when will we ever learn this basic lesson, that God is all, everything else is second. People, don't miss this truth. God says, be it as you have spoken. Great days will come, but great days don't need to stay. The question is, what are you speaking? You can name the day. So tomorrow when you wake up, name the day. God's going to be faithful to fulfill it. And if you say, it's going to be the worst day of my life, Satan's going to say, yes, sir, you've got it. You called it. You will get it. But if you say, this is going to be a good day in Jesus, He's going to direct my paths, He's going to give me what we call divine appointments, then God says, okay, I'm going to fulfill what you've asked me, because whatsoever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. You can name the day. What will you call tomorrow? Stand. Father God, we want to stand in your presence in this room, and already we have known that it has been made holy by your presence. Very holy. It's a very sacred place. We sang, we're standing on holy ground. And we thank you, Jesus. It is awesome to think that you who created the animals actually would be right here to consider us and to rename us Christians. God, we wear that name proudly this morning. And as we come to your table, we come with the expectation that something's going to happen between us and you, because we're going to handle a body that has been broken for our health and our healing. We're going to handle the fruit of the vine, which is the blood of Jesus for our salvation. And yes, something miraculous will happen, because we are stating that beforehand. We're naming this communion in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen.